Hello again. This is Carol Bond, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 23rd. I will begin this part of the recording with the reading of the obituaries. Dorothy M. Claytor, 87, of Decatur, went home to be with the Lord Friday, August 19th. Funeral service will be held at Tabernacle Baptist Church, Decatur, Wednesday, August 24th, at 11 a.m. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m., Tuesday, August 23rd, at the church also. Burial will be in Point Pleasant Cemetery, Long Creek, Illinois. Memorials may be made to the Tabernacle Baptist Church or to the Baptist Children's Home and Family Services, Kearney, Illinois. Tanzia's Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of the arrangements. Patricia A. Evans, 80, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, August 21st, at Fair Havens Christian Home. A graveside service to celebrate Patricia's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, at Riverside Cemetery, Iliopolis. Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be directed to Maranatha Assembly of God. Jerry Ernest Foster, 75, of Decatur, passed away at home Saturday, August 20th, surrounded by his family. Mass of Christian burial will be celebrated at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, at St. James Catholic Church, with Father John Burnett as celebrant. Burial will be held in Harristown Cemetery. A burial will follow. Visitation will be held Tuesday, August 23rd from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, with prayer service at 5:30 p.m. The family requests memorials to St. James Catholic Church. As the sun waned on August 20th, on the second day beyond the 59th wedding anniversary with her beloved husband, Melvin Hoffman, Charlotte Marie Hoffman passed peacefully on to her next endeavor. Her family invites you to celebrate her life. Services will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, August 25th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Decatur, with visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, August 24th, at the funeral home. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery, Decatur. Memorials may be made to Zion Chapel, United Methodist Church. Genevieve Newsom Gowan, 96, Decatur, died Sunday, August 21st, 2016. Services 2 p.m. Tuesday in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Visitation 1 hour before services. Burial, Fairlawn Cemetery. Rita K. Willis, 88, of Decatur, passed away at 6:30 a.m. Saturday, August 20th, in her residence. A service to celebrate Rita's life will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, August 25th, at Dawson and Wyckoff West Wood Street Funeral Home. Burial will be in Harristown Cemetery, Harristown. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation beginning at 10 a.m. until service time. Memorials may be made to the American Heart Association. Justina Nguyen died on Friday morning, August 19th, as the obituary says, the angels arrived that morning to bring her home to be with the Lord and Savior that she continuously worshiped and adored. Homegoing service to celebrate Justina's life will be 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 24th in Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home with Reverend Robert White officiating. The family has entrusted the care of their loved one to Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Decatur. We'll turn to page 8 now for two more articles that relate to the courts and crime. Here's the first with a headline, Facebook Row Leads to Stab Wounds. This is written by Tony Reed. Police say a Facebook argument in Decatur between a brother and his sister led to a confrontation in which the brother was slashed repeatedly with a knife Friday afternoon. Sworn statements allege there had been an escalating online row going on between the 39-year-old sister and her brother, and she had made Facebook comments warning she was heading to his house to fight both him and his wife. Police say she arrived at his home in the 800 block of West Decatur Street, and she was backed up by two men aged 18 and 21 and a 28-year-old woman. Quote, during this time, the suspect and her brother began physically fighting in the alley behind the house, the statements say. While physically fighting, she pulled out a pocket knife, this is a quote, and began swinging the knife at him. She caused him to have five separate stab wounds from the incident. He was taken to Decatur Memorial Hospital to seek medical treatment. Police say the sister has several previous convictions for domestic battery. After the latest alleged assault, she was booked on charges of committing domestic battery while having a previous battery conviction and being involved in a mob action. The sister was jailed but later released after posting $20,000 bond. Her bail is conditional on her staying away from both her brother and his home. She is due in court September 20th. Tony Reed also has this article, Man Offers Confessions. A Decatur man accused of stealing a pickup truck and driving it while impaired by alcohol decided honesty was the best policy when police pulled up next to him, it's alleged. Sworn statements say a patrol officer found the 18-year-old suspect lying on his back underneath the truck at 2:45 a.m. Saturday in the 1700 block of Kenwood Court. The rear tire was flat and the suspect was trying to free the spare wheel when the officer asked him what he was doing. Quote, I am not going to lie to you. I stole the truck. The suspect is alleged to have replied. Asked if he had any weapons, he is said to have admitted he had a set of metal knuckles in his front pants pocket. The officer said he also noticed the suspect smelled of alcohol and his eyes were bloodshot. Quote, without questions from officers, he stated he was drunk, the statements say. Police claim later blood and urine tests showed he was over the legal limit for driving and had both alcohol and cannabis in his system. The suspect was jailed on charges of illegal use of a vehicle, aggravated DUI, illegal consumption of alcohol by a minor, and unlawful use of a weapon. We'll turn now to the Decatur Tribune and find out what Paul Osborne is writing about in his column City Beat. The headline reads, "Judge Marsha Morey worked for me at the Decatur Tribune many years ago." And there is a picture of Judge Morey, who was an Olympic swimmer from Decatur in 1976. She's wearing her judge's robe and is seated at a desk in a courtroom. The front page story in today's, that would be August 17th, print edition of the Decatur Tribune is about the public screening of the Last Gold documentary at the Avon September 1st. The Last Gold is a USA Swimming produced documentary spotlighting the 1976 women's U.S. Olympic team and the East German doping scandal. Considered one of the greatest untold stories in Olympic history, the Last Gold details the heroic efforts of the women's 1976 U.S. Olympic swim team. After an entire competition of disappointing results, winning no races, and facing critical media that heaped on additional pressure, the U.S. women rallied together to do as a team what they could not do individually, win gold. Marsha Morey, an incredible swimmer from Decatur and member of the 1976 U.S. Olympic team, worked for me at this newspaper for a time in the early 1980s as her legal career was getting started in our community. During that time, in addition to being editor of the Tribune, I also produced and anchored the daily Newsline television program on WFHL-TV in Decatur. Marsha appeared often and was involved covering news of the school district. And as I remember, there was a teacher strike going on at the time. Marsha would hang around the Kiel building and was able to get some real insight into how negotiations were going, and then go on live with me at 5 o'clock and update everyone about what she saw and heard. And since she was also an attorney, she understood all of the legal talk that was going on. Marsha did a great job of reporting for this newspaper, and it sure didn't hurt the Tribune that she was an internationally known swimmer. It was no surprise to me that Marsha went on to an outstanding legal career in North Carolina, and today is Chief District Court Judge in Durham County. For all of her acclaim, she was very down to earth in her approach and compassion for people. She was interested in what they were doing instead of talking about any of her accomplishments. During the years I was doing the Newsline program, it was live at 5 o'clock and then replayed at 10:30. Back then, television technology was a lot different than it is now. We didn't have a teleprompter. We just winged it for 30 minutes, and you can imagine a lot of the humorous slip-ups that were made from time to time by about everyone who appeared on the show. I remember one time when Marsha and I were talking during the program about preparations for the family Thanksgiving, and she mentioned that she helped out at her parents' house by putting glass in the ice in setting the table, and kept her composure until after the telecast was finished. "Did I say glass in the ice?" she asked, and then indicated when I told her she had, that she probably wouldn't be asked to put ice in the glasses for that Thanksgiving dinner. It has been many years since I last talked to Marcia, but I think everyone in Decatur knew she would succeed in whatever she chose to do in life. She was and is one of the outstanding people who have come from this great community. Thanks to former resident and super Decaturite Eve Shade for alerting me to the Last Goal documentary that was shown on NBC Sports earlier this month. Eve wrote, "Anyone who has ever known Marcia Morey holds her in high regard. I'm sure that you still have a special place in your heart for Marcia, as do I. Therefore, I wanted you to be aware of the documentary that was shown on NBC Sports." She goes on to say that it supposedly tells the true story of the U.S. swim team's disappointment in the Olympic Games in 1976. Another item in his column is about Walgreens. Walgreens at North Water and Grand Avenue is closing for good and did close on August 17th. Public relations flowing from the home office gave some reasons for the closing, but when I asked one of the employees in the store why it was closing, she gave the Reader's Digest version, "We're not making any money here." I was mayor when we rezoned that property for Walgreens a little over a decade ago, and I have to admit I wondered at the time if adding the store was a wise move, since there were other Walgreens in Decatur, one further west on Grand at 48. Obviously, Walgreens invested the money because they felt it would be profitable, and they know a lot more about such projects than I do. Sometimes, due to various factors, things don't work out, and I was sorry to learn of the store's closing after only being there for 11 years. I'd like to read next a column by Lori Borgman, who is a Tribune News Service columnist. She wrote this article a few weeks ago. The headline reads, "The next surprise is right around the bend." I just read an article titled, "Five Healthy Habits That Fight the Signs of Aging." It was written by a woman who recently turned 40. As my southern friends would say, bless her heart. Basically, the author advises eating healthy and wearing sunscreen. Go ahead, sweetie. Keep believing. If you only knew. It's better that you don't. Actually, it's better that none of us do. Some days, the mystery of the unknown is what keeps us going. As someone who has seen 40, may I tell you about 40? 40 is nothing. 40 is the sandbox of life. 40 is merely the back end of 30. At 40, your skin still fits. The thought of comfortable shoes at 40 is anathema. On a good day, you may even still have that dewy glow of youth. You can still eat ice cream, pizza, and donuts in your 40s. I will grant you that the back end of 40 comes with a cloud of apprehension, as it should, as 50 is a bucket of cold water in the face. Medical appointments appear with increasing frequency on your calendar. Colonoscopies, bone scans, cholesterol checks. Merely holding a cookbook causes weight gain. You envision a brow lift during your 50s. Of course, you can't afford it, so you consider the alternatives. Perhaps a few pieces of strategically placed duct tape. You may even be sucked into exercises promising to eliminate that furrowed brow and put yourself through regimens of weird facial gyrations. You lament all the years you frowned. Why did you frown? Because you were raising children, that's why. 60? I recently crossed 60, so I speak with authority when I tell you that 50 is a cakewalk compared to 60. 60 is like being tasered. Once you get feeling back in your legs, pull yourself upright and look around, you wonder how you got here. You feel 17 inside, but the candles on the birthday cake are setting off the fire alarm. You have new sympathies and understanding for those older than yourself. Instead of muting the prescription drug commercials on television, you listen intently to all the adverse side effects, wondering if you may one day need the medication, or more importantly, if the medication will one day kill you. If you're blessed with good health, you quickly learn to keep it to yourself. Friends your own age don't want to hear about how great you feel or that you signed up for a mini marathon. A group I am speaking for recently requested a publicity picture. I realize the picture I use is 4 years old. A lot of changes can happen in 4 years. I sent the picture and told my contact to pencil in a few more wrinkles. I need to get an updated photograph of myself. And I will, just as soon as the healthy eating, sunscreen, and results from the furrowed brow exercises kick in. And that's from Lori Borgman, a Tribune News Service columnist in her 60s. This is an article from the Pantograph online called Pharmacists Weigh In on What They Wish Patients Knew. This was written by Paul Swyk. And it was a question asked of pharmacists who are working in Bloomington. And here are their answers to that question. First of all, they'd like to know that we don't just fill pill bottles. Quote, I check all your drugs for interactions with other medications, herbals, your disease states, allergies, Mr. Himmel said. I check for dosing errors. I check to make sure that you are taking the right drug for the right ailment. Expecting fast food service from a pharmacy is unsafe. We are the final check between you and your medications, Mr. Schulte said. I can't tell you all of the potentially harmful mistakes I've caught. Please don't rush us. Allow sufficient time for the pharmacy to refill prescriptions. It's best to order a refill a couple of days before you need it, pharmacist Brines advised. If the prescription is out of refills, the pharmacy will have to contact the patient's doctor. The pharmacy may be out of stock of the medication. Filling a compounded medication prescription may take 24 hours. There may be an issue with billing the patient's insurance. Drive-through is for picking up and dropping off. Please come inside for time-intensive issues. Just because a drug is over-the-counter, herbal, or all-natural doesn't mean it's safer than prescription drugs. And generic drugs are equivalent to brand-name drugs. Save your money, Schulte said. The FDA has determined, using bioequivalence studies, that the generics will have the same effect as their pricier brand names. And oftentimes, once a brand name drug's patent expires, the drug company that produced the brand name will simply bottle the brand name tablets in a new bottle with the generic name on the label. Make a list of all your medications. This includes over-the-counter vitamins and herbals. Include the dose, directions, and name of physician and pharmacy. Include any drug allergies and health conditions. Keep the list with you. Healthcare providers will need to know this information in order to treat the patient safely and effectively. Keep the list of other people for whom you are responsible, such as your children or an elderly parent. Take the list to all doctor visits, inpatient and outpatient procedures. Tell the pharmacist about all medicines you are taking. This includes all prescription, over-the-counter and herbal medicines and illegal drugs. OTC supplements, herbals, and illegals can cause interactions when taken with prescription drugs. Even OTC such as ibuprofen and aspirin can cause complications, especially among people with high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney disease, history of stomach or gastrointestinal bleeding, or alcohol abuse, coronary artery disease, heart failure, or cerebrovascular disease. Tell your pharmacist if you are pregnant or breastfeeding. Some medicines may not be safe for you or your baby. Use the same retail pharmacy for all your medicines. It is difficult for the pharmacist to evaluate safety issues, such as drug interactions and duplicate therapies, if the patient is going to multiple pharmacies to get medications. Don't be embarrassed to ask a pharmacist question. I have probably heard and seen it all. I am a healthcare professional, and I will treat you with the utmost professionalism. When you get a refill, if your medicine looks different, ask the pharmacist. Know your copays. When you get a new insurance card, bring it to your pharmacy so that the pharmacist can update your records. Other pieces of advice. Follow label directions. Don't take anyone else's medicine. Store medicine in a cool, dry place. Contact your pharmacy about proper disposal of old medications. Follow dietary recommendations. No pill will help you control your weight. The flu shot doesn't cause flu. According to pharmacist Schulte, the flu vaccine contains proteins from influenza strains or inactivated, unable to cause infection, influenza viruses. It is not possible to cause the flu. Again, this is from an article taken from the Pantograph from Bloomington. It's a condensation of conversation held with various pharmacists in the Bloomington area. This has been Carol Bond with the August 23rd issue of the Decatur Herald and Review and also the Decatur Tribune. I look forward very much to reading with you again next week.